That's what we're going to be studying about this morning. I don't want to talk about that right now, though. I do want to kind of restate an announcement that Dale made because it was kind of difficult to hear with the air conditioning running and everything. But we know about the devastation of the floods over in eastern Kentucky. I inquired the latter part of this week as to who among members of the church might have been affected, and got with a couple of preachers in that area, and we know of one family that lost everything. FEMA, insurance, and some other congregations that we know of that are chipping in are covering about $23,000 of it, but their losses, they estimate it being $52,000. So we have determined what we traditionally do here at Southside is that in situations such as this, we will take the entire contribution of one Sunday and send that to the benevolent need. And so we're announcing that today so that if you, in light of this family who is in need, want to contribute in addition to what you normally do in your first day of the week contribution, you can do so, and hopefully we can make a significant dent in their need. I'm sure there are other congregations that, as they learn of this need, are going to be helping as well. I have all confidence that their needs are going to be met. But we just want you to be aware of that for next Sunday. We've been studying from the book of Hebrews in our adult Bible studies here on Sunday morning and Wednesday evening. And we've just concluded the 11th chapter this morning in our adult Bible study. Grant this morning read from Hebrews and talked about how that the animal sacrifices that were offered under the Mosaic law, and you could even say under the patriarchal law, but the context there was the Mosaic law, that they were a type of the blood that would be shed for the remission of our sins, that being the blood of Christ. Several allusions to that are made throughout the book of Hebrews. This morning, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11 in our sermon here this morning and say, well, Doug, we've just been studying about that for three lessons at least. But I want you to look at it a little bit different than what we typically do. I told the class this morning that it was probably about 30 years ago I was reading through the book of Hebrews and just, I don't know, kind of a light bulb went off and said, you know, that just as it was talking about blood and other things being a type and the tabernacle being a type of the church and all those things, that this chapter presents several individuals who are a type of our faith. Some time ago, long before I ever came on the scene, somebody entitled Hebrews chapter 11 the Hall of Faith, working off of the Hall of Fame. I don't disagree with that. Those men and women that are listed there certainly are heroes of faith. They heard what God said, trusted what God said, did what God said. They are examples for us to follow. But I think sometimes when we come up with a title like that, and it's, you know, when you think of the Hall of Fame in sports or anything else, it's only the very elite that are listed there. And so sometimes I think we read Hebrews chapter 11 and say, yes, these men and women are to be recognized for their courage and for their faith, and we're to follow their example, but I could never live up to that standard of faith. And what I want to submit to you is that every true Christian lives up to the standard of faith that you find in Hebrews chapter 11. So this is not going to work this way. I don't know what's happened here, but we're going to have to do something else. I probably made a mistake when I copied and pasted this into our song lesson, but I'm going to have to go back here and bring up the actual lesson, if it lets me. Here we go. Because to really appreciate this 11th chapter, we have to begin in chapter 10. Chapter 10, beginning with verse 35, says, "Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." Remember that the Hebrew letter was written because there were Christians of the first century who were wanting to go back and bring elements of the Mosaic law into the practice of Christianity. And the Hebrew writer is saying, you absolutely cannot do that. And that if you do that, that you are casting away your confidence that you have in the gospel of Jesus Christ and the doctrine of Christ. He said, do not cast away your confidence. Hebrews 3 and verse 11, you'll remember, he says, "Brethren, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." He said, going back to the Mosaic law is departing from the living God. You're not trusting the gospel of Christ and the doctrine of Christ to deliver you. You're saying that we have to practice elements of the Mosaic law in order to be saved. Such is an expression of unbelief and departing from the living God as we have in Christ. You have need of endurance. In James chapter 5 and verses 7 through 8, it says, "Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." As we can come back here to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, once again it says, "For a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." That was the point that James was making here also. Be patient to the coming of the Lord. He indeed is going to return. There will be a second coming of Christ. It will be for salvation. It will be to receive those who have trusted and obeyed him into his everlasting and eternal abode. So, Hebrews 10 is closing by encouraging those Christians of the first century to hold true to the doctrine of Christ. Don't go back. Endure. You need a patience for this endurance. And we are to endure until he comes again. Verse 38, he goes on to say, "Now the just shall live by faith." The just is talking about the justified. Those who are justified live by faith. And what's in contrast here is not the Mosaic law. They live by trusting and obeying God. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, not only is the Hebrew writer making this statement, but he's saying this is a statement of God made in prophecy. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, "Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." That was such an important statement of prophecy that it is repeated several times throughout the Bible, and especially in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 says, "For in it," speaking of the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. God is the source of faith. He is the author of faith. He has delivered that faith to us. We are the subjects of faith. From faith to faith, as it is written in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the just shall live by faith. And so the Hebrew writer here in Hebrews 10 and verse 38 is reminding them of that again, that this is the way God always intended it, that the justified before God are those who will live by hearing what God says, doing what God says. Later here in Hebrews chapter 10, or earlier in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 22 through 23, he says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled or separated from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Confession of our hope is the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that in him we have salvation, in him we have fellowship with God, in him we have the hope of eternal life. He says, let us draw near with full assurance. Don't doubt. We don't need anything else, and we don't need the Mosaic law. We need to trust what God has delivered to us in Christ. Verse 38, he goes on to say, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, utter destruction. We are of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We will endure till we see our salvation in the second coming of Christ and our reception into the heavenly places with him. And then that takes us right into chapter 11. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing. Any faith comes by hearing. Anything you trust and act upon came because you heard about it, you contemplated it, you determined that it was true, and you acted upon it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. But hearing the word of God is not faith. Believing the word of God is not faith. Acknowledging that God's word is true is not faith. Faith isn't faith until it does the will of God that is revealed in the word of God. James chapter 1 and verse 22 and chapter 2 and verse 17. Faith, or hearing without doing, we deceive ourselves. Faith without works is dead. Faith isn't faith until it works. There are those who say, well, I have faith and you have works. James even brings that out. James says, show me your faith without your works. I'll show you my faith by my works. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 is doing here. It's showing us the faith of these individuals by the works that they did. They heard what God said, they trusted what God said, and then they did what God said. And that's what faith is. Faith is doing the will of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Have we seen heaven? Have we seen the ultimate of our salvation? No, we won't see that until Christ comes again. But our faith that we practice, the hearing and doing the will of God, is evidence that we trust God and that he is coming again. Our faith is not empty. We're not hoping against hope. There's a reason for our hope. There's evidence for our hope in the word of God. The word of God itself is its own evidence, if you will, of the fact that it is the word of God. You have fulfilled prophecies and you have scientific revelation before our human scientific discovery and so many other things point to the fact that God's word is true and that we can trust it and act upon it. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12 says, "For this reason I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day." Looking forward to that hope that he has, he says, "I am confident that what I have done in faith to God, that he will, in fact, reward me for my faithfulness." 2 Timothy 4 and verses 7 through 8, he says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Notice he says, the faith. He doesn't say my faith, not a faith. "I have kept the faith that God has delivered to us in his word," and specifically in the gospel of Christ. "Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing." Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not something that abides within. Faith is a demonstration of what abides within. It is the evidence. It is the substance. You can see somebody's faith by what they do. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 16 through 20, Jesus said it this way, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." We can't practice just any faith. We need to practice the faith that God has delivered to us, that produces the good fruit. Otherwise, we will be cast down. So when somebody is practicing something that is different than what you read about in the doctrine of Christ, you know their faith is different from the faith that has been delivered. In verse 2 of Hebrews 11, he says, "By it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony." And he's going to talk about many of these who are, you might say, the elders or the patriarchs. By hearing God's word and doing God's will, they obtained testimony that they were doing the will of God. God approved them. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which are visible. Through faith, through hearing what God says, specifically Genesis chapter 1 and other places throughout the Old Testament, through faith, we understand how this world came into existence. It wasn't by a big bang, a big explosion, but in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. "Let there be a firmament," and all of the points of creation throughout there. God said it, and it was so. And we stand in all of that, and we say, "Well, I don't know how you can do how you can just say, 'Let there be light,' and there be light, and just get this whole thing started." And especially in 6 days, I don't know how you do that. You don't. That's how almighty God is. Why is he called Almighty God? Because there's no weakness in God. There's nothing impossible with God. And you think of all the intricacies of physics that makes this universe work. You think of all the intricacies of biology that it takes to make every biological life form work, you realize the extensive wisdom and power that God has. God told us how this world came into existence. And there is no other reasonable explanation. You know, people, well, there was a Big Bang, and out of that Big Bang over billions of years, and all of this came into order. You know, we have scientifically put that theory to the test. From when we were little boys setting off firecrackers to cherry bombs to we get older and we get TNT and nitroglycerin and different bombs, atomic bombs. We've been blowing up stuff on this earth for hundreds of years. Not one single time has an explosion resulted in something that was orderly and useful. It's always left a mess that needs to be cleaned up and fixed. That so-called general theory of evolution is just false. We have scientifically proved it. God's revelation of how this world started is the only reasonable explanation. And we can understand how this world came into existence. In verse 4, he goes on to say, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and through it, through his sacrifice, through his worship, he being dead, still speaks." He still speaks to us. Here we have an example of true worship. Can we worship God truly today? Shake your heads this way. Yes, we can. How? The same way Abel did. Abel heard what God required in worship, and he worshiped God exactly the way God wanted him to worship. We read today in the doctrine of Christ how God wants us to worship him in Christ. And we are to worship that way. Abel heard what God wanted and offered what God directed. In John chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24, Jesus said, "The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." Did Abel offer in worship in spirit? Yes, he did. Can you worship in spirit and in truth today? Yes, you can. Not only can you, but you must worship him exactly as God tells us to worship him. In Acts 2 and verse 42, it says, "Those who had obeyed the gospel continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." 2 John verses 9 through 11 says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not receive this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." Can we worship God just any way we want to? This says that if you do, you're practicing that which is evil. If you embrace a doctrine that is not the doctrine of Christ, you embrace a doctrine that is evil. And you practice those things that in the eyes of God, God considers evil. If we want to be in fellowship with God, abiding in him, then we must abide in his doctrine, in his teaching, from his word. By faith, Enoch, when he was taken away so that he did not see death, was not found because God had taken him. And before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Enoch didn't die as everyone else dies. God just took him up in a chariot. He had this testimony. He pleased God. It was God's testimony. God testified that he was pleased with him. Genesis 5 and verse 24 says of Enoch that he walked with God. He heard what God said. He trusted what God said. He performed what God said always. The faithful in Christ have God's testimony also. Every Christian has the testimony of God that they please God. They hear and they perform the will of God. Romans 8 and verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is breathed of God. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. It's the Spirit who gave us the Word of God. Holy men of God spoke as they were led by the Holy Spirit. When we read God's Word, we're being led by the Spirit of God. We're being taught by the Spirit of God, the will of God, to become the sons of God, the children of God. Verse 16 goes on to say, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So when we read the Bible, when we read specifically the doctrine of Christ, and we practice the doctrine of Christ as delivered by the Holy Spirit, our spirit says, I'm doing what God tells me to do. But more important than that, the Holy Spirit testifies to God the Father, they're doing what you told them to do. They are living by your will. They are glorifying you in doing the things that you have told them to do. So just as Enoch could receive a good testimony that he pleased God, every Christian who hears, trusts, and obeys God receives testimony that indeed we are children of God. Enoch was taken away. When the faithful in Christ walk in the light, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, they trust in the promise of the resurrection to the everlasting life in God's eternal presence. We'll be taken away. Won't be taken away as Enoch was. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And after the judgment and in judgment, as we're found justified in Christ and find mercy in Him, we have access to that heavenly abode. Verse 6 goes on to say, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And you realize that he's saying without the faith. It's not any faith, not some faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God, is that you? Would you want to come to God and be in fellowship with God? He who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Those who want to come to God, be in fellowship with God, must believe that God is who He says He is from His Word. You must believe that Jesus is who He says He is from His Word. Trust Him and act upon it. Believe that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Not haphazardly seek Him, but diligently look into His Word, read it, study it, meditate on it, rightly divide it, as the Scriptures teach us, and make application and be found doing those things that are pleasing to God. You know, Cain believed in God, but he did not diligently seek Him. He thought, well, it's all right for my brother to offer an animal sacrifice. That's what he does. He takes care of herds. But I raise vegetables. It'd be more of a sacrifice for me to offer the best of my vegetables in sacrifice to God. That's what I think would be pleasing to God. God had told him what was required in sacrifice. It wasn't up to Cain to try to figure out what would be pleasing to God. God had told him what was pleasing to him. There are many today who sincerely believe in God, but are haphazardly practicing a faith that they think God will accept without ever reading and studying and rightly dividing His Word to be found in practicing the doctrine of Christ to be in fellowship with Him. Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." There are a lot of things that you think are important to your life, and they are. But the one thing that takes all priority is seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We've already seen this morning that the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. John 14, verses 12 and 14, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If it's authorized by me, I will do it." Great promise made there. Those who diligently seek Him trust in this promise and act upon it. Well, I was afraid this would happen, and it did. I'm not going to be able to conclude this. I want us to notice all of these things, but it'll probably take me another 20 minutes at least to go through this. So we'll put this off till next Sunday, since we're not, our service tonight will be in song. So we'll finish this lesson next Sunday. I hope you'll be encouraged by it. I have been. I hope you'll see that that you are in the hall of faith, that you are the hall of faith, that every one of these examples of faith that we're looking at, that they live in you. And you display the same measure of faith, just as Abel's worship and Enoch's walking with God. You're doing that. You need to be encouraged by that and remain faithful, and I'm confident that you will. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Jesus said in John chapter 8, "Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Jesus is our only hope of everlasting life. He's our only hope of having our sins, all of our sins, any sin, no matter how great or how small, forgiven. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, "Except you repent, you will perish." Repentance means to turn around. It means to recognize that you have sin and make a decision. I'm going to stop sinning. I'm going to turn from myself and my love of sinning and living for self and focusing on me. And I'm going to focus on God and glorifying Him. I'm going to turn to the straight and narrow pathway of righteousness that leads to life. And I'm going to walk it for the rest of my life. Jesus said, "If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who's in heaven. But if you're ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you." He told his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. "He who does not believe will be condemned. He who believes and is baptized will be saved." That first gospel message was preached on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus. 3,000 souls were baptized. They asked, "What shall we do?" And Peter, speaking as the Holy Spirit was giving him the words, said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." As I said, 3,000 souls that day obeyed the gospel. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The Lord continued to add to the church daily those that were being saved. Will you be saved today and be added to the church of Christ, the body of Christ, the body of the saved? Leave the body of the lost and be joined to the body of the saved. We would hope so. You're here today and you're a child of God and you have drifted away. Perhaps you realize that you've become unfaithful. You need to make confession of your sins and return to the Lord. We certainly want you to do that. James tells us to confess our faults one to another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If we can assist you this morning in any way, would you please let it be known as we stand and sing this song?